She does, and in fact, she's a 203K consultant. And at that woman's business
network,
networking.
You were at a woman's thing?
Yes.
Something you want to share with us?
Exactly.
This was at the community
He was getting in touch with his feminine side, okay?
And I you know, the light bulb went on at that moment. It did.
He saw the light bulb right over his head, too.
Anyway, Catherine is she owns Value Home Inspections. She's a 203K consultant. She knows what she's doing. She is an engineer. She's no slouch. She's a great speaker, and I'm very excited to have her here. So, Catherine, it's all yours.
Thank you. Good morning. Actually, it is still morning, so good morning, everyone. As Roland said, my name is Catherine Hall, and I am the owner of Value Home Inspections. And it's nice to see old faces. Calvin and I go back 18 years.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, that's how long it's been since I've been in the business.
Calvin was a pup.
Yes, and I was just out of high school. So, at least I wish. So what I want to talk about today is the FHA 203K process and how beneficial it can be for you. Inside the packets that I have given you today, you should find an actual CD. And that CD is a copy of the home buyer not the CD, excuse me. You should see a link to a website where I'm actually going to be creating an actual proprietary page for you so you actually can keep access to all the information as it becomes available on the 203K, including a PowerPoint presentation that you actually can download and give to your buyers so that they can understand what the process is going through. So, what I want to talk about today, and it's very apropos that we're doing this today, because last night, Wells Fargo hosted a dinner event. Do any of you know about that? Because I didn't see any loan brokers, and I was surprised. It was full of real estate agents, there were some insurance brokers, there were title representatives, and I was the only FHA consultant in the room. But then again, there are only three in the Philadelphia area, so it's not hard for me to be alone in a room as a 203K consultant. Wells Fargo is on a mad full court press to promote renovation mortgages. And they put on a whole dinner with salmon and chicken and everything where they had their executives from California flew out here and actually talked about their government loan program and the Wells Fargo renovation loan program. Now, someone in the audience actually said, so how does this differ from a 203K? And they said, oh, it is a 203K. So what they're doing is they're trying to spin it like they created it.
You mean lipstick on a pig?
There you go, exactly. Uh-huh. And since that is the West Coast, you might not expect that to be there. So they actually are really encouraging real estate agents to think about using the 203K. So as mortgage brokers, you need to be on the edge, the cutting edge of this information so that you actually can show these real estate agents that you are in the position to help their buyers buy these homes that are in less than satisfactory condition. So what Roland asked me to do today was not to insult your intelligence, because you all probably have a good overview understanding of 203K. No. Believe it or not, yesterday at this Wells Fargo event, and they mentioned, you know, this is a 203K, an agent actually said, what is a 203K? Mm-hmm. Frightened the life out of me. Okay. Does anybody know how long the 203K program has been in business?
20 years.
More. It's been in business since Kennedy administration. That's when it was put into place. Okay, since Calvin and I were born. Okay, so that being said, this program should not be something that is unknown to people. But it got a bad reputation in the 70s for taking a long time to do, for having a lot of hoops that people had to jump through, and because at the time there was no such thing as a DE lender, direct endorsement. All loans had to go through HUD. And wasn't that scary? Yeah. Trying to put loan paperwork into the federal government is like just throwing it into a black hole. You'll never see it again. That is no longer the case. And what I want you to think about, if you remember anything that I say today, I always try to tell people when I teach a class, if you could come out with one piece of information that is new for you, then it was worth the event. Not to mention cookies and hoagies. But the one piece of information I want you to come out of this with is this. You can close an FHA 203K in the same 30, 45, 60-day timeline that you close any other regular FHA conventional or 203B loan. You can. If you had the team in place, if you had the players to do it, you don't have to think of this as anything other than a loan with creative financing. So, what I want to talk about, and again, this PowerPoint presentation will be uploaded on the proprietary Moreland Financial webpage starting tomorrow. I'm recording this presentation because one of your partners up in Lehigh Valley,
Henry,
I spoke to him yesterday at length. He cannot come down here today, and so we spoke yesterday, and he said, well, how can I get this information? I said, well, you'll be able to access some information, and I will be recording it and uploading this as a downloadable MP3 file. One of the things I also like to remember is repetition is the mother of skill. So if you want to download this and replay it so that you're really up to speed on it, please feel free to do so. Also, you'll have access to send me emails and questions through the actual web page we're going to create for you. So the first thing, what is this doing? This is doing things stupid. Hang on, let's see. There you go. Now, strike while the iron is hot, or in this case, while the market is not. The days of putting a jumbo $500,000 loan with no doc and closing in 15 days with $1,000 down are gone and will probably never come back. So you're going to have to look for a broader base of buyers, and these buyers are going to be buying homes that are going to need FHA mortgages. And FHA mortgage will require that the home meet minimum property standards. So now, what is the way you do this? What is FHA? FHA is changing the climate in the home buying market. Because mortgages are harder to qualify for. You can't get the loans anymore. Conventional's not even there unless you have a 900 credit score. This is a situation, believe it or not, FHA has a zero credit score requirement. That being said, the lenders that you're going to underwrite to are going to put their own credit overlay. But as I learned last night from Wells Fargo, their credit overlay for a 203K is 600. So they're doing FHA 203Ks with a credit score of 600. Which is not bad. Okay? So, that being the case, more people are now buying homes that are in bad condition. They're wanting to buy these foreclosed homes, these distressed properties, the REOs. HUD is very interested in using the 203K for purchasing of REOs, so much so that they let you do an REO purchase with an FHA mortgage for $100 down. So it's time to start looking at that REO site to see what homes are available that your buyers might be interested in, because you can close that loan fast with a 203K with only $100 down. Now, what I'm going to ask Calvin to do is make a list of some websites that I'm going to put on your link, and one of them is the REO HUD link website, and I will put that on your website so you actually can access that to be able to see, because this is a great program. How many here are familiar with the Officer Teacher Next Door program? Okay? Officer Teacher Next Door program. That's a program where you can buy your buyer who is a police officer, fireman, school teacher in certain empowerment zones can buy a home for, that is a HUD home, they can buy that HUD-owned property for 50% of the list price. Didn't know that, did you? It's 50%. So if HUD is listing that property for $100,000, and it's in a certain empowerment zone that you can go to the website and see, and this is a school teacher or fireman or police officer, they will be able to buy that home for $50,000. So guess what that does? Your appraisability is probably going to be at least $20,000, $30,000 more than the original $100,000 point. They're buying it for $50,000. There's easy $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 of room that they can do renovations, improvements, and upgrades using the FHA 203K. Good or good? Okay, so this is something that people aren't aware of. Yes, sir?
Can you get a list of these empowerment zones? And where they are?
Yes, and it will be on that website that I'll give you guys the link to.
Okay, great.
Definitely, yes. And I love an officer teacher next door loan because I can tell them, you want granite counters, you want to bump out this wall, you want to put hardwood floors, you can do what you want because there's no concern about maxing out on appraisability. Okay, so this is a way for you to actually market to police officers, school teachers, and firemen wanting to give back. Yes?
Sorry, I just want to get clarification.
Sure.
So if an officer teacher, let's say, is in wherever that empowerment zone is, they can buy 50%. The loan amount will be 50%.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, 100%.
Plus whatever repair amount that they add with the 203K.
If it's 20,000, 30,000.
Okay. Right.
So your loan amount will be $80,000.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Okay.
So this gives you an ability to market in these empowerment zones. And unless I'm mistaken, I think Norristown is one of the newly assigned empowerment zones.
It's not a bidding thing on that home, is it? Like if you see it?
You actually get priority bidding as an officer teacher next door on that property.
Okay.
Okay, so you supersede the normal bidding process.
That's not fair.
Oh, what is this? Okay. Okay, so appraisals have gotten stricter. How many have had an appraiser devalue a property that you thought was about to close? Okay, in the last 6 months. Okay?
Plenty.
Well, that being the case, you now can be able to address that concern that the appraiser says, okay, well, we have to lower the appraisal because this, 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 and this is wrong. Well, wait a minute. What if we make this a 203K, correct that problem? Now you can go back up to the original appraisal and more, because with an FHA 203K, you are allowed to finance 110% LTV. So you're not restricted to what the appraised value is of that neighborhood. You're allowed to go 10% over top of that. So this gives you some wiggle room in your loan. Okay? You don't have to worry about appraisers hitting you over the head with loans. Okay? And saying you can't do it. All you have to do is basically you want to address, you want to find out what the condition of the property is first, and we'll talk about how to do that to be able to shut an appraiser up before he even opens his mouth, which is my idea of a good time. Okay. Yeah. So any appraisers in the room? Okay, good. No, I don't, because I'll shoot them anyway. I am a licensed home inspector and a certified 203K consultant. I'm allowed to carry a concealed weapon. Okay, so be afraid, be very afraid. Okay, you know, I'll never see a day of jail time if I shoot somebody, PMS, menopause, you know, husband stress. I'll never go to jail. Okay, I got all kind of reasons why I'm not going to jail. Okay, so be afraid, I'm not. All right, so you now here's what I understand, that if you as a mortgage lender try to call up an appraiser, he can report you for harassment, right? I'm allowed to call them, and I'm the only one, the consultant, who's allowed to tell them, you need to reassess this appraisal based upon the report I'm going to send you about the repairs we're going to be doing to the house.
So we could call you if we had a problem.
Yes.
And you could call.
And if it is a 203K loan, yes.
Okay.
I am the government's eyes and ears for this loan.
So you helped the fire beat up the seller.
Pretty much, yes. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Yes. So, more and more people, I've always done that, Calvin. Yes.
Am I jumping ahead by saying that you can do the repair inspections and the costs and so forth?
Yes, yeah, you're jumping ahead. We're going to talk about that. So more and more people are turning to FHA who would have thought to go conventional 2 years ago. So with this, you now have to address all these issues. Why not have this option in your arsenal so that if you do find you need to convert it to a K loan, you know what you're doing. So what's the next thing? Okay. Whoops. Back. Previous. Okay. Okay. Now, you all know that the term that FHA 203B is, FHA, people say I want an FHA mortgage, they mean a 203B, okay? The 203K is basically the loan benefits of the 203B with the added ability to put the repairs in. So this is knowledge that you already know. It assists the sellers with 6%, the gifting is still allowed, nothing changes that you currently have with a B loan, okay? What you get, and this is a nice thing, FHA loan limits in Philadelphia area are now up to four. They actually have raised the single family home limits up to the three family home limit. Yes. So you can buy, you can do a renovation loan in the suburbs. You're not just stuck in the city. Now, here's the caveat to that, and I'm making sure it's recorded. This new loan limit that's now applied to single family homes, that loan limit is going to expire December 31st, January 1st. However, there is a bill on the floor in the Senate to extend that. Okay, so we're hoping that we'll get an extension. The actual maximum loan limit in some areas is now up to $1.5 million. But then again, this is certain high limit areas, like it's California. Okay.
Northern New Jersey.
Yeah, Northern New Jersey. Okay. So yeah, anywhere where you can't buy a home for less than $500,000, the 203K renovation is based upon market rates for that area. Okay, it's not just meant for low-income people. It's not just meant for first-time home buyers. Anybody can buy a 203K. Okay, and with these kind of loan limits, you can do them anywhere. Okay, so now, what is a 203K? This is the challenges. With a regular 203B, the lender does impose their own minimum credit score. Okay, that's any loan. That's the 203K program. But now they're being told by the government that they need to make those loan limits more flexible. So like I said, Wells Fargo has brought down their minimum loan limit to 6.0. All right, 600, excuse me, 600. Interest rates are slightly higher. The FHA 203K interest rate right now for a prime bar, for a qualified prime borrower, is around 5.75 to 6.25, which is not that bad. Okay, in some high-risk areas, or if the renovation is extensive, they may jump it up to like a 6.85 just to cover their risk. Okay, houses must pass an FHA appraisal. This is where you have to find that if the house doesn't pass the appraisal, this is where the 203K comes into play. If it's a B loan and it can't meet that minimum appraisal, you can flip it to a K. And then all those failed items in a standard B loan have to be corrected before settlement. Whereas, what seller can fix anything nowadays, considering they probably aren't getting the amount of money that they thought they were going to get for the house in the first place, they don't want to have any extra money outlaid to do repairs. So, what do? You turn to a K loan. It's the same benefits as a 203K, but all the required repairs are done after settlement. And the appraisability value, again, gets to go up to 110% LTV. And you don't have to, and you still can do the gifting. So everything is the same as the B, but those required repairs that the appraiser put on you are now shifted to after closing. And this actually will make the buyer a lot more comfortable with the transaction because they will be the ones overseeing the quality of the work being done. They don't have to worry about a seller who's going to get Cousin Bubba and his traveling band of handymen to come fix those appraisal repairs. Okay? So, you know the contractor. All right? I see him all the time. Okay? He's out there. Okay, well, you need to replace the roof. All right? He goes in and slaps some asphalt coating on there and calls himself done. Okay? Done. Okay? So, who's qualifying that? Unless the borrower is requesting a re-inspection from the original inspecting company, there's no way to know what the condition of the quality of that workmanship is. Okay? This is now the borrower gets to oversee and qualify the work before the contractors are paid. And it's all done after closing. So if we say that the carpeting is ripped at the stairs and it's causing a tripping hazard and need to replace the carpeting to the second floor, you don't have to worry about that seller getting the cheapest Home Depot carpeting he could find in orange. The buyer gets to pick the color of the carpeting they want, and they actually get what, and that makes them more comfortable with the transaction. So this is a very powerful tool that we as consultants, I as consultants, I'm the only one around here, are trying to teach the real estate agents, help your borrowers realize the potential in the homes that they're looking at. And as mortgage lenders, you can tell these borrowers, why don't you look at a lower priced home that we know we can comfortably qualify for, throw some repairs in with the 203K, and you can get the same quality as the home that's $20,000 more that we might have a concern about making you qualify for. Do you see where I'm going?
Yep.
Okay? You actually can open up this to borrowers and get them available to a home that you're not going to have to be concerned about biting your nails going to underwriting. Okay? So, let's talk about the two types of 203K. Yes.
Sorry.
Yes, no problem.
The 110%, is that off the as is or is the as completed?
That is the as after repaired. That's ARV. Yes, the 110% loan to value ARV. So, if the homes in that neighborhood are being sold for $100,000 and we're buying the property for $80,000, we can put up to $110,000. We can put $30,000 of repairs. Because our ARV is now $110,000, which is $10,000 over the appraised value in the market.
So your value is $100,000, you're buying it for $80,000, and you go to $110,000.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. You're buying it at $80,000, the neighborhood values are $100,000, you can go 10% over the neighborhood appraisable values in the after repaired condition. Because HUD understands it costs more to fix something than it would be if it was already in good condition. So they pad 10%. Also, conveniently, all FHA 203K loans are required to have a mandated 10% contingency reserve. So they let you go 10% over because they're making you add 10% to the loan. Okay, so they force you to do it. Okay, yes?
What happened on the maximum mortgage worksheet,
mm-hmm.
on line, I think it's C4, you're required to use the lower of the the sale price plus the repairs times 96.5%.
Mm-hmm.
The lower of that or the 110%. So
your question? Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
But you can go up to 110%. They would like to see you do the 96%, but if you have to go 110% and you can get appraised comps, you get to do it. You get to do it. The question is, what is in that specification of repairs that justifies that? For example, and we'll talk about some of the variables that make you actually give, they actually won't even question you having to do it. For example, I'll give you one brief example. If as a consultant I review the property and find that utilities were off and I see issues that make me concerned about the quality of those systems, I will be required by FHA guidelines to increase my contingency. So if I have to increase my contingency to 15 or 20%, then that allows you to go to that 110% automatically, because we're forcing that loan to be higher even though the repairs are not indicated at the time of the actual inspection. Does that help you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No one has ever complained. None of the appraisers I've ever done have ever complained about the 110% LTV hit. What I have found is borrowers must be able to qualify for that higher amount. Okay? So it's not so much whether or not the appraisable value, they know these homes are going to be repaired. The question is, can this borrower qualify for that higher amount? Okay, and that's what you have to make sure, that you pre-screen your clients to find out what their maximum qualifications are when they're looking at homes. Okay, so there's two types of 203Ks. There's a streamlined K, and then there is a full-blown 203K. The streamlined K loan is designed for minimum repairs, minor, non-significant, non-complicated repairs. Originally, 5 years ago when streamlined came on board, it was a maximum of $15,000. For here at our side of the hemisphere, $15,000 will do some traditional minor repairs. In California, you can't put a block of concrete out there for under $15,000. So they had to increase the maximum amount of the 203K streamline to accommodate a national program. You and I both know, here in the Pennsylvania region, you can put a whole floor on a house for $35,000, okay? But you're not allowed to with the 203K streamline. There are guidelines. And as I said, you'll get this whole PowerPoint presentation. The repair cost has to be up to $35,000, obviously value permitting, that's all loans. There is no minimum repair threshold. With a full 203K, there must be a minimum of $5,000 of required safety or soundness repairs. Trust me, I can turn anything into a safety repair. I'm good at creative writing, so that's not really a problem in a full loan. But let's say that the borrower is buying the property, and there's only $1,000 of required safety repairs. Some cracked concrete blocks, a hot water heater that's leaking, some broken windows, okay? But the borrower wants to actually put in new carpeting, and they want to repaint the bedrooms. So they want to add on another $1,500. So they can purchase that house with a 203K streamline and add the $1,500, $2,500 to the loan and go fully through. With the 203K full loan, you've got to meet a minimum threshold of $5,000 worth of safety repairs. Okay? The repairs are complete after closing, just like a full 203K. No repairs are done prior to settlement on any 203 loan, B or C, B or K. So you're able to do these after closing. Same down payment requirements for purchase, 3%, 3.5% for a standard FHA loan. And this is the nice thing about a streamlined K. If the repairs are less than $15,000, they will not have to escrow costs to have an inspection following closing. They just give them the money. They submit a form saying, I'm finished my repairs, give me my money. Because FHA is like, you know, this is not enough money for us to worry about. Okay? Once you kick over $15,000, they want to see what the work has been done. Okay? Yeah, Kath?
You're not involved.
No. And we're going to talk about that. Exactly. Right. I'm not involved in a typical streamline. We're going to talk about that right now. Now, with this 203K, and he segued right into that, with the 203K streamline, a consultant is not required. In other words, you don't need to have someone do a full detailed write-up of what needs to be done to correct these repairs. That being said, what we do recommend that you do is recommend and counsel your buyers to have a pre-purchase home inspection from someone who is also an FHA certified consultant.
There you go.
Mm. Because if, I'm sorry?
You have any names?
Yes, I do. Catherine Hall. There you go. And my staff. You want to make sure you're using a home inspection company who, when they identify significant safety and soundness concerns, know what the FHA minimum property standards are. And you also want to make sure that home inspector gives estimates for repairs. Our company has for the past 16 years. Because if the borrower is going to do it themselves, wouldn't it be nice for them to get an idea on what the estimated cost will be when they're shopping for their contractors on their own to do these repairs? So if you are using a home inspector who is going to tell them these are going to fail FHA anyway, that way when they go back and sit down and start talking about negotiating with the seller, they can say to the seller, I'm not going to ask you to fix these repairs, even though I know for a fact FHA is going to call for them. What I'm only going to ask you to do, lower your sale price a little bit to give me the offsetting amount of money so I can actually get these repaired added to my mortgage. Sound like a plan? Mm-hmm. What seller would turn that down? Because most of the time the sellers have already added money to the cost of the house, expecting to come down anyway after the home inspection, right? And if they say, well, you know what, once you get this home inspection report, Mr. Seller, describing you the safety and soundness concerns, if you don't negotiate successfully with me, what do you have to do with any future buyer? Disclose. They will be forced to disclose those repairs to any prospective new buyer. Now, what other buyer is going to come in and say to a seller, oh, thank you for telling me all the repairs that you had that you're not willing to fix? They're going to say, fix them. So why not address the concerns with the buyer in hand as opposed to trying to negotiate and find new buyers? So, I've got $5,000 worth of repairs, Mr. Seller, that are going to fail the FHA appraisal. Lower your price by $5,000. I can flip it to a streamlined K loan, go on with settlement, and everybody's happy. Okay?
Great idea.
Thank you.
That's a great idea. It's a great tool for keeping everybody in the contract.
Yes, it keeps players in the game.
Yeah.
Okay? And the key is making sure, yes, it's a deal saver. Because you have those repairs, you have the estimates of the cost of what it's going to do for those repairs, and then the buyer can just get the seller to negotiate the price. I'm sorry, I need your name.
Chris.
Okay, good. That's my son's name, so I won't forget it. And there is a surcharge after 15 questions, but go ahead.
I can owe you a lot.
Ah, okay. You're going to whisper in his ear, okay.
Exactly.
Yes.
So let's say it was something like it was an older boiler and they wanted to replace it, although the boiler's in fine working condition. Can they use it for something like that?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So if the home inspector puts down that the boiler is 65 years old in marginal condition, the buyer is not happy with that because the home inspector has to say this boiler could fail at any time.
Right.
And the cost to replace this boiler is around $4,500.
Right.
That buyer can then get that Streamline K and put the boiler in.
After closing.
And after closing, and all they have to do, since they are going streamlined, is get a proposal from either Lowe's, Home Depot, whoever they want, writing out that they're going to put in a whole new boiler, $4,800. Boom. A boiler gets put in, then they added those money to the repair. Since it's under $15,000, they put the boiler in, they get a check. End of deal.
How many deals have been blown because of that? People not having any idea of that?
Not being comfortable because of the fact that the home inspector had to report something as marginal condition. There's a $50 surcharge for cell phones going off, too.
I'm sorry.
I usually mention that to real estate agents when I start because they all have their phones on. Okay. So I make money at a real estate conference. They all have, that'll be $50. Okay. And I give it to my favorite charity, which is Habitat for Humanity, obviously. So this way, you actually find out. So if the buyer, so what does this say to you? What I'm trying to say to you as mortgage lenders, and what I teach buyers, and actually, I will be doing a, and Roland, I don't know if you got the email, you might have gotten the email, I'm doing a webinar next Wednesday for all of the 4,000 prospective buyers and existing home buyers in my database. And I'm actually going to be talking about what to do, how to take advantage of the $8,000 tax rebate program. Mm-hmm. And I have four real estate agents who are going to be my preferred partner, and I have an insurance agent. And guess who gets to be the mortgage lender who gets to field any questions that are on that call and gets his name and email information shared to 4,000 prospective home buyers?
Me.
Wrong answer, but close. Wrong right to your left.
Nice.
And all the contact information for all these people, exactly. We're getting all the contact information for all these prospective buyers, their timelines for buying, and we're sharing this information with people, with our business partners. This is the first in a series of monthly webinars that I'll be conducting. Okay. Next month will be about the 203K. This month is about the $8,000. Okay. We try very hard to stay connected with our database through webinars, through emails, audio recorded messages. Everything that we do is to try to keep them in the loop, because if you don't keep them in the loop, you lose them to someone else. All right. Someone else who comes up out of the blue takes advantage of the fact that they mention they want a mortgage and they don't remember you. And as a business person, you all know if you're not first or second in that person's mind for that item, you're dead. Okay, so what am I saying to you? You are going to have to probably get to be more sophisticated in these products than the real estate agents who are going to be the first person to see these buyers. Okay, and what I tell my buyers in my workshops, and which is what will be on the workshop on the webinar on Wednesday, the first thing you need to get right is the money. You get the money right, all things fall into place. So I tell my buyers, get your lender first. Get a full-service broker who can offer you any product you want, VA, FHA, conventional, whatever you need. Get your lender first, then shop for a real estate agent. And you might want to ask your lender to recommend an agent who's going to serve you well, because that lender is the one who knows that information best. So get to the position and think of yourselves as the people who need to be the point people. You should be seeing the buyers first. You need to find a way to get a hold of them before the realtor has said, oh no, you don't want to do a 203K, they're horrible.
And they do say that.
And they say that.
Yes.
They say, don't want a VA loan.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Now, just a segue, just a little sidebar. How many of you know that you don't have to be restricted to the $425,000 loan limit for a VA property? Did you know you can buy up to a $1.5 million house using VA funds? Okay, here's how that works. I'm just going to sneak this in a little bit, then I'll get back to this. Write this down. If you have a VA buyer, and they're buying
VA.
VA.
Yeah, they're going to put 10% down over the
10% down on anything that is over the $425,000 maximum VA loan limit.
Call a VA jumbo. The problem is finding a lender that'll do it.
Yes. Now, guess who is a lender who's now doing it and wanting to do it?
Wells Fargo.
They propped it up last night big time. Okay. Yes.
Catherine, at Wells Fargo, is any originator allowed to originate 203K, or must they go to their specialty?
You stepped right outside my zone of knowledge.
Okay.
That's a rolling question.
What did he ask?
Can any originator?
Well, typically at the big shops, your average loan officer isn't allowed to do these specialty programs. They have to go to the specialist who may or may not call the realtor back.
That's true.
Right.
I'm wondering if Wells is the same way.
They are. They have specialists.
Well, I got the phone number and email of the executive director of government program loans and renovation loans. So if anybody wants that information to find out what you can do to take advantage of it. Okay? So let's move on. Now, Streamline K, what can be included? Okay, the total cost of the rehab, the inspection fees as needed, the building and other permits, and title update costs. All this is built into the Streamline additional funds. So the buyer doesn't have to come out of any money. So here's the cool thing. If they had a pre-purchase home inspection, they can be reimbursed out of the 203K funds for that fee. Okay? So that means they actually get paid back at settlement out of the Streamline K funds.
And of course, Catherine is going to do that inspection.
Any cap on the fee?
There is no cap on the fee. It's whatever it's in, as long as it's in the Streamline program. It's whatever you choose to pay. And when you get into a full loan, the fees get fun. I like my full loans. Okay. What can be eligible work items? Repair, replace roofing, guttering, HVAC systems, like Chris mentioned, replacing existing HVAC systems, plumbing, electrical systems, flooring, minor repairs, as long as it's non-structural, you can't move any walls. Exterior painting, interior painting, to address that lead paint issue, totally covered. Weatherization, which is a big ticket. Right now, the state of Pennsylvania is putting up a ton of money to put weatherization programs in the state. And I'm going to come and talk about that in January, because I've applied to the state to be one of the instructors teaching the contractors who are going to do weatherization, and they're going to get grants to do weatherization in Pennsylvania. So I'll talk about that when we get there. They're actually going to wrap that into the mortgages now, weatherization. And the energy efficiency mortgages, we'll talk about that a little later too. Appliances, so if there's a bad freezer, they want a new refrigerator, the washer and dryer, everything is included. Microwave ovens, you name it, it can go into the Streamline. And improvements for accessibility for people with disabilities. ADA accessibility is fully covered under a Streamline. So if they need to have an elevator or a special ramping added for their mother or father, all this is covered. Environmental mitigation, radon, asbestos. Now, I did a house the other day. It had asbestos pipe lag falling in your face throughout the entire basement ceiling. So for those of you who don't know what that is, it's old pipe wrapping, and when it starts to break apart, you breathe it in, you get lung cancer, asbestosis. Well, it's very expensive to remove asbestos. The asbestos remediators are very costly. That's the perfect thing to have done with the Streamline K, because guess what? It doesn't affect the value of the house. But a seller's not going to want to pay the $5,000 cost it takes to remove all that asbestos in an environmentally proper fashion. Because you have to bag the house. You have to come in, you have to gown up, you have to have breathing apparatus to get this all out. Sellers don't want to do this, and buyers won't buy the house with it. So, any kind of mitigation, radon mitigation, asbestos, all that's covered. Termite treatment that needs to be done for the house. All this is covered under a K-loan. Modifications involving disturbances of 1978, pre-1978. In other words, lead paint. Okay? Lead-based paint abatement. Repair, replace exterior decks, patio, porches. You can do anything as long as you're not doing structural repairs. Basement finishing. You want to put some drywall and some drop ceilings or some dry rock on the ceiling and some carpeting. The buyer says, well, I would buy this house if only it had a finished basement. Finish it. Add it in the loan. Waterproofing, window and door replacement, septic systems. Now, when you get into septic and well, septic systems, you're talking, some of those septic systems are $15,000, $30,000. But guess what? That's the only thing wrong with the house was the septic? Okay, if the seller drops the price, do a K-loan to get your septic replaced after closing. How many deals have you had that have died because of septic failures? A failed septic inspection. Okay? It doesn't have to happen. Okay? Septic is the easiest thing to do. It's a standalone system. You can replace it after settlement before the buyer moves in and you're done. Now, unless it is, I actually had a house in Norristown where they're not even going to be able to keep the septic system. They're going to have to run new lines and tap it into the existing plumbing system, and it's going to be very expensive. The house came off the market actually because of the problems. But typically, by and large, your usual septic issues are anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000. And it's a one system repair. Perfect for the Streamline K. What is not included? What does not qualify? Major rehabs, relocation of load bearing walls. So if you're trying to move a wet wall, so a wet wall is a wall where plumbing lines are going through, you can't do that with a Streamline because you probably have to put architectural supports and you've got to relocate those elements. You can't do new construction, so you can't add on a room, you cannot add on a basement, you can't add on an addition, you can't add on a floor. That's required, but that has to be used with a full loan. You can't repair structural damage. So even if it's only $30,000 worth of repairs, but it's a structural repair that a structural engineer has called for to be done, it must be done with a full K loan because they want to make sure an FHA inspector has qualified those repairs because of structural damage. Repairs requiring detailed drawings or architectural plans, obviously you're going to need a consultant for that. You need to make sure those plans are properly done. Landscaping or similar things. Now, landscaping is if you're trying to, you know, regrade, add a berm, things like that. If you say, well, I actually have some eroded soil at the front of the property, I need to backfill some dirt and put a retaining wall, that's not landscaping. Okay, that's exterior repair. Okay, so that can be done.
That's considered repairing a drainage problem.
Exactly. Right. That's not landscaping. They're not letting you put in trees and, you know, little ponds and pavers and hardscape stone. They want you to, if they want to do that, they actually want you to be doing that with a full loan because they want to scrutinize that loan, okay, to make sure you're not sticking a pool in. Because you're not allowed to put pools in.
Oh, darn.
You were trying to do that, huh? Any repairs or improvement requiring more than 6 months to complete, which is a little bit vague, a little bit difficult because a 203K full is only allowed to go up to 6 months. But if you have a 203K full and you're at the 6 month point and you're not finished, the consultant is allowed to put in a request for an extension. But only a consultant can put in a request for an extension. And that's because you have actually made sure that the consultant has ensured that the work has been moving apace during that 6 months. Okay? Rehabilitations that require more than two payments. With a Streamline K, you're only allowed two payments. Okay? And typically you want to have one payment to one contractor and one to another. So in Chris' example, they have to replace the heater and you have a septic system. You pay the heating guy one check, you pay the septic guy the second check on the second month. Streamline is done. They don't want something that's waiting or sticking around a long time. They want this immediately done and over, and since it's supposed to be minor repairs, it shouldn't take that much time anyway. Now, what's the difference between a Streamline and a full K loan? Okay, there's very little differences between a full K loan, but the differences are important. The first thing about that is, with the 203K, as I mentioned, the repairs must be at least $5,000. Okay, who can't do $5,000 anymore? Anybody. You have to use an FHA consultant. That FHA consultant is the person who assists the buyer in identifying the cost of the repairs. That consultant assists them in selection and critiquing the contractors. And that consultant qualifies the work that's being done in the form of draws after closing to initiate disbursements to the contractor. That's what the consultant does. Architectural exhibits are required if necessary. So in other words, if you are moving a load-bearing wall, you've got to get some plans, some sealed plans to explain why. Okay? You don't have to do that with the kaolin, with the streamline. And the borrower can do repairs and improvements if they are qualified. Now that applies for both, but they're not letting them do these. I haven't seen anybody who let the borrower do a K-streamline yet.
It's never a good idea.
It's never a good idea. But I'm going to show you some pictures of a 203K loan where it is a self-help loan. And the borrower was allowed to be his own contractor. He provided documentation that proved he was eligible to do the repairs, and I'll talk to how the bank fixed it. So they can do them. If they are doing them, they have to have documentation to prove that they are verifiably qualified to pull the permits and produce documentation, licensing, and insurance in the related category for which they're trying to do the repairs. So, for example, I'm an electrical engineer. If I want to do electric work myself, I can. I can pull permits. Okay? I can do it myself. But if I am doing a 203K of my own and wanting to do the repairs myself, the bank will only give me my material cost. They will not give me the cost for labor. So I don't get to be paid to work on my own house. So if a typical cost to put a new service drop in a 40 slot 200 amp panel is around $2,000, the actual material cost for getting that stuff at Home Depot or Lowe's is around $850, if that. $500 to $700 for the materials. That's all they'll give me. I had to put my own effort, sweat equity into the repairs. I never recommend people doing this. And it can't be your father or brother, okay? You have to be the one who is saying that you are qualified to do the repairs, okay? And it's never a good idea because they never finish on time. Because they're trying to do it on weekend warriors, and it's Eagles time, okay? And so you don't get the job done, okay? So it can be done. We just definitely don't encourage it. Now, what are some of the contractor and rehabilitation criteria? We've identified that borrowers are not doing it themselves, so the people they use must be bonded and licensed and insured. Okay? Now, in the city of Philadelphia, in this area, there is no contractor's license per se. Okay? You have to just go down and get your permits. Montgomery County does require a general contractor to have a license, and you just go and you apply for your general contractor's license to do the job you're doing. Okay, so you do have to get licensed and insured contractors.
Do you have to be registered for the state now?
Yes.
As your contractor?
Yes. It's a registration, but it's not a license. Yes, it's a registration.
You have to have insurance, workers' comp, and...
Exactly. And the bank is going to do that same due diligence through the consultant.
Okay.
When a contractor is looking to do a project, I'm going to ask to see his W-9, I'm going to need to see his workers' comp, I'm going to need to see his professional liability, if he has it, and general liability and Arizona and general liability insurance policies to make sure they can cover the cost of the project. I also check their credit references, because with a 203K, a 203K full, the contractor is not advanced any funds. With the Streamline K, you're allowed to get 50% up front, paid out directly to a contractor.
Wow. Never a good idea.
Which is never a good idea. But in some cases, it's not bad, because if you're talking about Lowe's or Home Depot,
it's okay.
You're buying a heater. Okay. Self-help is discouraged, like I said, but acceptable. Eligible kind of properties. 203K is available on any purchased property. Any normal, regular transaction, seller on the street selling. Also, it's an excellent product for REOs, condominiums, refinance of existing properties, anything that's from 1 to 4 units. Also, if you're trying to go down from 5 to 4, you can do that too. Okay? So they make it, as long as there's no more than 4 inhabited units and the borrower is going to inhabit one of those units, you can repair up to 4 units. Is that nice or what? Okay, so it is amazing, isn't it? It's amazing people don't know about this. All right, now here's where it even gets more fun. How many of you have had a loan or a borrower who was trying to buy a property to have a storefront on the first floor? You can do a 203K with a storefront in the first floor, provided the storefront property is not renovated. You cannot do rehab repairs on commercial property, and you cannot do this loan with investors. But let's say you have a property that has a storefront on the first floor, and it has a second floor apartment that the people are going to live in. As long as the residential space is more than 51% of the entire building, you can do a 203K on that loan. Okay?
You can't limit it to one retail space, you're going to have...
You can have whatever you want, as long as the residential space exceeds 51%. And guess what? Here's where it gets fun. This is where being a consultant makes it fun. If the house has a heating system, a shared heating system, so it's only one heater for the storefront and for the apartment, okay, shared heating, shared water lines, and the heater and the water lines are in the basement, what does that basement now count as?
Part
of the residential. A lot of real estate agents don't know that, and they turn people down thinking they don't meet that 51% habitability.
You can shrink the commercial space.
You can shrink the commercial space by putting like a little laundry room on the first floor, right behind your commercial space. It's now being accessed by the residential owner. Boom, you made it habitable.
Or if the stairway to the second floor is enclosed.
Exactly.
At 51%.
Exactly. Okay. You had a question about mixed use zoning. That has nothing. I have no idea about zoning. I have no clue about what zoning does. I don't know about the zoning. Your buyer should have already had the realtor verify that it was zoned for mixed use before they even considered purchasing it.
So it has to be residential, not zoned.
It has to be zoned mixed use. Mixed use or residential.
Okay.
It cannot be zoned commercial.
Right.
None of the renovation funds can go into the commercial space.
None. None of the rent. Now, let's talk about that real quickly. None of the renovation funds can be used for the commercial space. However, the appraisability is going to be based upon the condition of the entire property. So if the storefront is a mess and they're planning on putting that, they need to get that renovated before they can make income on that, then that borrower needs to be able to have funds to fix that storefront up because it may lower your appraisability because of the mess in the storefront.
He's an appraiser.
Hi! I was bad-mouthing you guys earlier. When did you show up now? I was bashing you over the head earlier. I must have talked you up.
I'm used to it.
That's okay. So,
he has battle worn.
That's okay. He's got a good medical plan, don't you?
You got it.
There you go. Exactly. But am I telling the truth?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, make sure. So this again, if I sound like I'm giving you a sales pitch, guess what? I am. If you get a good home inspector who is qualified to understand these programs, they're going to tell your buyer. They're going to inspect the commercial space and say, this is a mess. You're going to need X amount of dollars to fix this, plus the rehab of your upstairs apartment. What are you going to do? You have a question.
Did you say on the streamline, under $15,000, they don't inspect after anything?
They don't require a post-renovation inspection under
$15,000. How do they know you did?
They don't care. If it's under $15,000, it's not enough money for them to worry about.
You need the money to do the commercial if you wanted to. Not if it was under
$15,000. If it was under
$15,000. Yeah.
If it's over $15,000, you better believe I'm not going to lose my license to let you cheat. And trust me, I've had people ask me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, come on. Well, you know, can't we do this?
No.
Okay. Let's say, for example, the storefront is attached to the main building and we have to replace the siding. Well, obviously, we have to replace the siding for the whole building, so the storefront benefits from that.
Right.
Okay.
At the closing, does all the money go to the title company or does the lender hold the renovation money back until...
It's held in escrow. It's held by the actual end lender. So if the loan is being sold, it actually gets sent to whoever's buying that loan. Okay, so if it's Aurora, and they hold the money for the renovations.
So then the buyer just sends in a letter, say it was $9,500, I finished my repairs.
Yes, indeed. Is that scary? Is that scary? Now, you know, I personally have a big problem with Streamline. When it was $15,000, it wasn't that big a deal. $35,000, guess what you now have, in my opinion? You now have government-funded predatory lending. Because the contractors can just name their tune. Okay? They can say, I need to put a heater in, and it's going to cost you $9,500. Fine, Streamline K.
So you can put stuff in, never do it, and have $15,000 more money than you.
Technically, yes. But you have to get a contractor's proposal, and the contractor signs a statement of settlement saying that they're going to do this work.
Oh, okay. So you put him on the hook.
Yeah, so he's on the hook. So you're not going to get away with $15,000 free.
Right.
Okay. But if you have a friend who's a contractor, if you can find a contractor willing to put his name on the line, and it only costs $10,000 to do it, and you guys split the difference, What can I say? This is being recorded. I'm not promoting this or endorsing this in any way. Right. All right, so there you go.
What do you approve loans?
Exactly. No, I don't approve loans. So, yes, you can technically... Look, isn't there a way to get away with any system? Thank you. Isn't there a way to get around anything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is somebody creative going to try to do it? Not on my watch. Not if it's a full loan. Okay, because I'm not losing my license. Okay, so... What is an FHA-certified consultant? This answers your question, Roland. Who am I, and why do you want to use someone like me? The 203K consultant is an unbiased individual who represents the borrower without any ulterior motive. I'm not linked to the transaction. I'm going to give them a report, an objective report, based on the merits of the home for the same fee, no matter what the repairs are. The initial feasibility report is $400, flat. And it's the same fee that you charge for a home inspection.
Right.
Here's what makes it nice. When you're working with a home inspector who's also a 203K consultant, if it looks like the project is not feasible, that report can be used to get them out of the transaction. They can pull out based upon that report because it was produced by a licensed, certified home inspector. Okay? So if they don't like the fact that it's two, because the home inspection addendum does not say a report from a 203K consultant or home inspector, it says home inspector, mm-hmm. who is compliant with the Pennsylvania Home Inspector's Compliance Law. Okay? So, hey you! So, the eyes and ears of the lender and HUD, like I said, they hold me accountable for the repairs. When I do a draw inspection, I have to submit a form to the lender with photographs. Proving that I've been out to the property and inspected it. 10 years ago, when I first started doing this, 203K consultants were phoning in their orders. Okay? The contractor would send him a form saying, I've done this. The consultant would sign it, fax it, and move on his day. Not anymore. All right, consultants. And if you'll notice, the consultant roster is 80% removed. They have cut out 80% of the existing consultants who were in the rosters nationwide. If you go to the list, you'll see deactivated, not available, not used. They got rid of everybody. Okay, either you did not respond to their request that you wanted to continue the work, or you had found some sort of sanction. They just cleaned house. Okay, that's why I'm the only phone number that answers the phone anymore in the Philadelphia area, because they got rid of them all. And also because the past 3 years, no one wanted to use us. Because you can get a conventional renovation loan with 3 dried leaves and a fig. Okay? All right, okay, I'm going to put 3 dried leaves down for my down payment. Fine, get a commercial renovation loan. It's all good. I've been getting more phone calls from lenders who are now trying to get rid of these commercial renovation loans because the loans are taking too long. Will you go out and inspect to see what's being done so we can close out this loan? Because they're stuck. Okay? So... What is an FHA 203K consultant also? Believe it or not, I am the mediator, the facilitator, and the quality control officer. Or to quote my son's high school marching band team, I am the enforcer. Okay? I make sure that the work is done on time. I make sure it's done correctly because, God bless you, I have to make sure because the borrower is paying for this work to be done in the form of their mortgage. I have no problem telling a contractor, it's not done right, do it over. I have no problem telling a contractor, you shouldn't have put that wall up before I had a chance to look at the new waistline, take it off. Oh yeah, I've had to do that. Now, I know that sounds hardcore, but this is because I told the contractor in the previous draw, don't wall this up until you call me to come out and inspect. Okay? And then guess what happens when I open up the wall? They didn't replace the whole waste pipe. They actually only replaced up to the wet line and left the whole section that's cast iron and tried to get away with it. That's what happened when the contractor did that and he walled it up. He walled it up to try to cheat me out of knowing it. But you're supposed to go all the way up to the vent, take it out. So they'll cheat you if you don't use good contractors. Here's where it works for me. I actually have a list of contractors who I recommend to my clients, contractors who have worked with me, who know they have to answer to me, and whose prices are reasonable. And so that's how I help this transaction move that much faster. Okay? So, the independent consultant assists the borrower by creating what is known as a feasibility analysis. This is the first step. We actually work with the borrower to help them understand what they want to do. We keep them real. We keep their feet on the ground. When they know they're going to do a 203K, they all want granite, they want brass fixtures, they want the Hunter Douglas gold trim ceiling fan lights. And we say, well, you know what? We really don't have that money to play with here. Do you want to put it in that? Or how about let's put central air in the house? and improve the appraisable value of this property. Because I actually can make the appraisal go up by the repairs that we do that increase the value of the property. How about we put a bathroom in the basement? Boom. I've now made that appraiser have to reappraise it higher because now it's gone from just being a one-bath home to a one-and-a-half bath house. Or we now put in central air because it already had the heating ductwork system. We're replacing the heater. Why not throw another $3,000 in and throw in a central air unit? Guess what? Appraisal now goes up. We make the house worth more. Okay? Yes, I have a cape that rolls and I have a big S under my dress. Super consultant, okay? Now, we complete the work write-up and documents that are needed for closing. We do everything. We give you the entire package. Once you order a consultation package and the borrower has approved it to be done, you don't have to wonder when you're going to get it. You'll get it within 48 hours of that borrower requesting it.
What's your consultant fee?
The consultant fees are based upon the total rehab amount. The initial fee is the $400, okay? That's the inspection and the initial feasibility analysis, okay? I'm going to show you samples of these documents in a second. The initial feasibility analysis, if at that point the borrower says, oh no, I didn't know it was going to cost $80,000 to fix this house, I don't want it. Fine, I will write you a report, you'll be able to give it to your realtor to get you out of the transaction. Deal is done. Now, let's say it was only $35,000 or $40,000 worth of repairs. I want to go forward. Fine. The repair, the $400 that you paid, is credited toward the total rehab cost. So the scale is anywhere from $500 to $1,500, depending on what the repair amount is. So the typical repair amount of $50,000 to $55,000 is $700. So that $650. So that $400 is subtracted from the $650. And then the balance of the $250 is due when they get the specification of repairs. Then that $650 is a POC, POC charge, that they get to be reimbursed out of closing because consultant fees are valid fees to add to the renovation loan. So the borrower
That is very, very inexpensive.
Yes.
You ain't charging enough.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately, I am dictated by HUD how much I can charge.
I think Kim has a question.
Yes.
Are you just licensed in PA?
I am federally certified in all 52 states.
Okay, there you go.
So you can do Delaware.
I can do Delaware and Jersey.
Are you playing cards or are you talking about the United States?
52 states, yeah. Isn't there 52, including Puerto Rico? That's a deck of cards. Well, this is a deck of crooked cards. I do most of the four counties. Depending on the dollar amount, okay, I will do a large dollar amount property out of my typical travel zone, okay? For example, I did a job, believe it or not, in Virginia Beach, Virginia, okay? It was a very special client, and he was paying me three times my fee. But he had built a renovation house here. He built a house. He was buying a house and renovating it in Virginia Beach. He wanted me to do it. He paid for my hotel to come down and do draws once a month.
That's good.
Yeah.
Summer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So some banks will ask me to do renovations outside of my zone because, again, there's so few of us left. Then what I typically do is I increase my draw fees, I add mileage, things like that. But if you're doing a renovation amount of $80,000 to $90,000, the rehab cost is $950.
Was that a second home?
Yeah, is it?
No. He moved to Virginia Beach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he moved to Virginia Beach. He sold the house. I put a whole second floor on the house here. It's right in East Norton. Threw a whole second house, the second floor on that house. He sold that house, but one end was putting a whole second floor on that other house in Virginia Beach. Fun if you can get it. Now, we conduct the draw inspections, and we make sure that work progresses in a timely manner. Because if it doesn't, the lender's going to call me, not the borrower, not the contractor. They're going to say, wait a minute, you haven't had a draw in over 40 days. What's going on? Well, yes, we have one scheduled for next Friday. Okay, or the contractor requested an extension on the draw because of this. But we actually contact the client and the contractor every 20 days. It's time for a draw. It's time for me to come out. And if they say they're not ready, I don't care. I'm coming out anyway. Yes?
Once you move into the progress of, hey, I'm spending $50,000 to X, Y, and Z, in the process of that, you can't change it. I mean, let's say they want to do more stuff. They found something after you open up a wall.
That's what the contingency reserve is for. There is unforeseen contingency, which is 10% of the loan, of the rehab amount. So if it's a $50,000, you've got $5,000 of money for problems once you open up the wall. Anything outside of that, the borrower has to come out of pocket. They never do. I've never had a borrower have to come out of pocket. Because what I have had to have them do in cases, we will have to please scale back on the non-required repairs to offset necessities. So, for example, you can't get the hardwood floors because we have to put that money to something else. And that has only happened twice, and that situation is in litigation with the seller who misrepresented the property.
Now, they're only making payments on the draw or whatever.
They only make payments on the repair amount.
Right.
Now, here's where it gets fun. If the buyer cannot move into that home because it's going to be under construction, you actually can add into your escrow amount mortgage payments up to 6 months. So if they have to live somewhere else and pay rent somewhere else, this loan can pay their mortgage for the house being renovated. Could we think of nothing else? What else could we think of?
And this program has been around since...
Kennedy. Thank Roland for inviting me in. So...
You're welcome.
Here's the process, okay? The process of getting... Thank Rosalie. Here's the process of getting a 203k mortgage. The lender meets with the borrower. That's the first step. You guys need to meet with the borrower. And Rosalie, I've told them, and I'm going to tell you I've told them, I think the first person the buyer should see is the money person. Because once they have the money right, a lot of your questions are answered. And then they should go to the real estate agent, not the other way around. Because going the other way around, you're trying to put the cart before the horse. Okay? So, first thing, identify to the borrower. The lender goes, the borrower talks to a lender. Tell your buyers that there is a program so that if you're out looking at properties, the home doesn't exactly meet your needs today, but meet your financial abilities and there's some cushioning in, don't discount it, call me. Let's talk it over first before you discount some homes that might otherwise be a good goal for you. Identify that they may want to do a 203k mortgage. Let them understand what it is. I'm going to give you a PowerPoint presentation you can do at your next home buyer workshop. Complete the consultant request form. It's going to be on the web page, a form that you'll be sending me to requesting a consultation. Again, the consultation on that form, I'm asking you to tell me, to the best of your knowledge, what is the sale price of the house? What is the maximum mortgage that your client qualifies for? What is the estimated rehab amount? If the buyer has an idea on how much it's going to cost, usually they're 100% wrong. Okay? They don't know what anything costs. They all go to Home Depot and see faucet $35 and think that's how much it costs to put a faucet in the kitchen. Okay? Or bathroom, when it really costs like $180 to do a faucet with the fittings, connection, shut-off valves, and the fact that the plumber charges you $75 just to walk across your front door. So they are usually 100% wrong. I'm sorry? You have a question?
No.
Okay. So, complete the consultant request form. Fax it or email it to my office. I have a fully staffed office. Roland knows that. He's talked to several of my staff. They'll call you to say, we've received your consultant request. We'll get your email address. We will then start sending contacts to the buyer's agent, to the listing agent, to the seller as needed. We'll keep you in the loop of all the conversations. You'll know when that inspection's scheduled. You'll get an email advising you, and you'll be able to know that once that inspection's completed, the first thing I tell the buyer to do, talk to your lender. Go back and tell them. Because when we do the feasibility analysis, I give them a verbal number right there at the inspection. They walk out.
How long does it take you usually to get out once you make the request?
Usually about 3 to 5 days.
And you're the only one that doesn't know, none of your staff?
None of my staff.
Okay.
My staff can do the home inspection and give the price estimates. So if your buyers are not sure they want to do a 203K and they just call for a regular home inspection and I have to go back out to do the feasibility study, we give them 50% off of what they paid for the home inspection. We credit that toward their consultation. So if they had a $400 home inspection with one of my staff will tell me, Catherine, this looks like a perfect 203K. We found a ton wrong. They still will give the required safety and soundness repairs because they've been trained by me to look for them. They'll still give the estimated repair costs. They just not qualified to do the work write-up. And so in which case, I do have to go back. But I'm not going to smack them over the head twice. I'm going to give them half off of what they paid for the initial inspection toward their consultation and work write-up. You have a question?
Yes. How does the desire to finish a basement get worked into all of this?
In what way?
You had said that if somebody likes the house but wish the basement was finished, you could add that in. It's a considered needed repair. Any property, it seems, that any FHA property can be a 203K.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any property. Yes, Chris.
So would you suggest that for every pre-approval you give out, that you do one at a regular 203B and a 203K. So Mr. Realtor, look, we qualified them on both ends. Don't kill the sale because of yada, yada, yada.
Exactly.
We got both for them.
Yes. And say, and if they don't understand what the benefit of that is doing, say, this will keep your seller from having to fix up the house.
I'll bet you that's no, something nobody else is doing.
No.
I think that's a better advantage.
That's a big advantage.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yes, it is. It'll make you guys. Why do you think Wells Fargo flew every one of their staff from California out here yesterday, took a room at the Sheraton Four Points, and put salmon and chicken on the table for us?
Because they're making so much money, they got to spend it somewhere.
Well, that's true, too. They turned down the bailout money, didn't they? They turned it back because they didn't want anybody to tell them how much they get to pay their executives.
They
turned it back, though, didn't they?
They
paid it back, right, because they didn't want oversight. Yeah, exactly, but they paid it back. They're also telling everybody that we own Wachovia now. That's what they mentioned yesterday.
Yeah,
yes, I own Wachovia. Exactly.
Good luck.
Have a good time with that. Okay. The borrower will schedule the feasibility analysis. Then this will establish whether the property meets property standards. If it meets minimum property standards at the inspection, you're golden. Go on forward with the B loan. If it doesn't, then you know whether or not you want to decide on what repairs and improvements want to be done. Okay? So the borrower says, wow, this basement would have been nice if it could have been finished. Let's finish it. Okay?
It's a negotiation tool, you're saying, so they say adjust the price down to ultimate.
Yeah. Now, if that's something that is not a necessity in the home, then the seller may not be willing to do it. But if the basement was partially finished with some old ratty drop ceiling and some linoleum on the floor, you know, the ones with the vinyl padded bar, okay, you know, and they're like, ooh, this is horrible, okay, I really wish it could be a nicer basement. Well, Mr. Seller, this buyer is really interested. Rosalie, you know how to start negotiating that. Take $2,500 off the sale, Mr. Seller, and then my buyer will be willing to spend the extra money to make it what they want. Would a seller go for that?
Maybe.
A lot better than a no. A lot better than a buyer saying, no, I don't want this house because I have no money to fix the basement up, and I don't see myself having money in the foreseeable future. Okay?
Or if the rest of the comps in the neighborhood have finished basements.
Yes.
So it seems like there's three components to the possibility of this. Is some flexibility on the seller's part, needed repairs, and the ability for the borrower to qualify for the offer.
Absolutely. You just summed it up. Yes. And the flexibility on the part of the seller is not a given. You don't have to have flexibility on the part of the seller. You have to have room between the sale price and maximum appraisability.
And that maximum appraisability is found
by the appraiser, by comps. So if all the comps in the area, if the seller knows the house is in bad shape and the comps in the area are $20,000 more, but they know that this house has a very old, outdated kitchen, so the seller has offset the price because of that. There's your $20,000 to fix the kitchen, to bring it up to the proper comp.
So it would be good to have an appraiser aware of this plan to say, oh, by the way.
You don't get to pick the appraiser that's chosen for you. Well, by the lender,
but you can certainly get the value home inspections to do the inspection. On
right,
the
and I actually know I'm actually able to thumbnail the.
But you order the appraisal.
You order the appraisal from a pool, unless I'm mistaken. Isn't there a pool?
FHA.
You can designate. Are you an FHA? Okay, well then you can just. Well, see, right there, okay. The borrower gets the contractors to bid. They finalize the work to be done in a specification of repair report. They go to closing, and then work begins. That's what happens.
Now, you can do the repair list, and you can do the costs.
Yes.
Okay.
I can do the specification of repair. I can do the bid package. I do the bid package so that the contractors have a uniform document to bid on so that the contractors are comparing apples to apples. Because you have one contractor that says, renovate house $50,000. Okay, one sentence. That's his proposal. Okay, another contractor has a nice little detailed proposal, but he's pricing things differently. They have to go by my specification of repairs, which is broken down so that they actually see, line by line, item by item, what they're pricing on.
But your pricing,
they do not have to live by my pricing.
I understand that, but your report, give it over to the appraiser, then becomes part of the appraisal.
Only after the contractor's prices have been updated.
Okay.
Okay, my report...
That process is still in there.
Yes. My report, my estimates are usually spot on accurate, especially for the contractors who I work with. But if you have a contractor who wants to charge more money for something, I, as a buyer, as your buyer's consultant, I will advise you that this contractor is high. Do you still want to use them? It's your call. What I will not sign, and I'll sign off on it, and I'll adjust my numbers to reflect the numbers from your contractor. What I will not sign off on is a contractor's estimates that are ridiculously low, where I don't feel that there's enough money in the loan to have someone else come in and finish the project if you can't finish, Mr. Contractor, because that's my tail on the line. So if you're, so if you have your cousin's Bubba's friend who's going to be the contractor and he's going to try to give you a brand new, you know, plus 90 forced air furnace with PVC venting for $2,500, you know, 120,000 BTU, I'm not signing that because I know darn well you can't do that. And so they're going to have to get a contractor who will put up legitimate estimates, or that contractor will have to change his numbers. Yes, sir.
Do they, your contractors or all the contractors sign release of liens or waiver?
Yes, they do. During the draw process, they sign lien waiver and releases upon progress draws. Okay. And there's a 10% holdback from every draw that's held until the end of the job that keeps the contractors coming back each month.
In situations where maybe the value, the market value in the area, or there's repairs over and above than what the loan amount would be, the I assume the buyer has to prove that they have the funds to make up the difference.
Yes, and those will not be included in the specs.
Sure.
So they have a private relationship with the contractor to do other things that has nothing to do with the spec.
Right, but if there's a situation where, you know,
when work begins and we open up a wall and find something wrong and there's no money for it, is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm just saying that if there is a shortfall, everything's legitimate. If there's a shortfall, the buyer would have to prove before the closing of the transaction that they have the money to make up the difference.
Okay, I don't understand what you mean by shortfall.
Well, the area does not support the value. Like you said before, that the house is $20,000 less than all the houses in the area, but you're doing $30,000 or whatever the number is. It puts you over that. And
you cannot exceed 110% LTV.
Right, but if there were needed repairs over and above that, is that...
You can't buy the house.
Okay.
That kills the deal.
Okay. Even if the buyer has the money to make
no.
the difference, it still kills
the deal. It still kills the deal. The house cannot... That's too big a risk for FHA even to take on. Yes, so I understand what you're saying. You can't exceed the appraisability of the house and say, I'll throw some money in myself.
Catherine,
yes. One more thing. I want to show you guys some samples of some projects. Okay? But real quick, before I do that, I'm just going to just blow through these real fast. This is the actual presentation that I'm giving you that you actually can give to your home buyers. It talks about how to buy a home that's not ready to be sold. Where is, the cup of water is in front of the screen. Okay. And see, that's me. Thank you. Yes, I have. See, actually, I had a friend of mine sketch that out for me, one of my son's high school kids. So that's supposed to be me getting it fixed up the way you want. It talks about what a 203K loan is. The first thing you need to do, what I say, the first thing you do, get a borrower. Get your lender first. Okay. Make sure they're knowledgeable about the process. Carefully evaluate the home. Ask yourself questions. Would I buy this home if this were new? That's what you want your buyers to start asking that question of themselves. What is there room for you to add the cost of repairs to the price? Will the seller lower his price? These are some of the questions your buyer asks. Get a home inspection. A qualified inspector can determine if you need to have a 203K loan. Things that are eligible for repairs. New heating system. There's Chris's example right there. This was a new heating and hot water heating and central air conditioning system that was put in. Electrical, let's take it from this. Okay, let's get rid of the service cable. All these things are things that were corrected in a 203K. Ask questions. We tell them, there's no question you shouldn't ask. Carefully review the property. Oops, hit the wrong slide. And carefully review the property with your real estate agent, your consultant, and lender before closing. Check insurance company coverage. Why use us? Ask questions and be open to the possibilities for your new home. This is the presentation that I'm going to give you guys to give to your buyers. And then examples of completed projects. So let me show you some examples of some properties where you actually can get a feel for what this can do.
And these are all Pennsylvania ones, right?
These are all Pennsylvania ones, absolutely. And we'll do this one. We'll start with this one. Okay, I'm starting with this one because this is actually the process that project that is just now getting ready to do its first draw. Okay, and this form here is the initial feasibility report. And this is the first form that we took. And this actually talks about, see if I can page down. Come on, page down. I have to use this, it's not one word. And this is the form that we sent when I did the initial inspection for the property, where it talked about the feasibility study inspection, paid on contract, $400, work write-up based upon repairs, a total of $700, termite inspection, $75. This is all the forms that the borrower got at the time of the initial consultation. And this is the feasibility analysis. This is a generalized overview of what the repairs are going to need to be. This is not broken down. This is just showing you in a rough preliminary report what needs to be done and how much is it going to cost in rough numbers. This is what the borrower is given the very next day we do the from the inspection. So they now know that the construction cost is going to be $93,000. We're going to have five draws at $85 a piece. That's going to be $425 added to the loan. The termite inspection, if they chose to get it, they actually did not get it. The work write-up and consultation, $700. The feasibility study, already paid $400. The allowable fees were $1,600, which would be added to the loan. On top of the construction subtotal, the 10% contingency reserve, that mandatory 10%. So the total construction amount added to the purchase of the property was going to be this number. We give them that the day after they do the inspection. We tell them, go see your lender, take this to your lender so they can work these numbers into the purchase price of the house. Okay? So, now, this was the first document on this property. This house was...
What's the purchase price of the house?
This house was in Manayunk. And the purchase price of this house, it was, I believe the purchase price was like $150,000, and it was appraising for $450,000.
Wow.
So they were moving staircases. They're doing everything in this house. Okay? Yeah, it was a foreclosure.
Oh.
So this is actually the bid form. When I create the specification of repairs, I created the bid form automatically for the borrower to give to any prospective contractors interested in bidding on the property, so they actually have to fill in the lines what their fees will be, so that when we're looking at proposals from more than one contractor, we get to compare apples to apples. So there's no miscommunication on what your price is. And if I do see something that's extensively high, I can say to that contractor, okay, why is your number for third floor shingling so high? Oh, I thought I was replacing everything, including all the roofs. Oh, no. See, can't you read? It says third floor shingled roof. Okay.
That's not a given.
Huh?
Just replace what means.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Recoat all sections of flat roofing with silver coating. I'm very specific in my write-ups. Because when we go to closing, we start repairs. I don't want any miscommunication on what I'm supposed to be inspecting. So, install new vinyl casement windows in existing frame openings at basement. You can't know what you're doing here, can you? Mm-hmm. Contractor can't say, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. And if he tries with something other than what I say, he doesn't get paid. Because he puts his numbers here, and then he has to sign this. This is the bid form, okay? So the next thing I want to show you briefly is the full specification of repair document that you need to go to closing. Okay, and why won't this work? Page down.
Will all this be in a PowerPoint?
This will all be on the website. This will all be available for you to access on your web page. Samples of the specs, samples of all documents. Yes, sir?
Question for you. The purchase price of the house is $150,000. We'll go and pre-approve somebody, but we don't know what the real amount's going to be at the time. This could be a $250,000 mortgage instead of a $150,000
right.
mortgage.
That's why I need to know from you what their maximum qualification is. That's the form I ask for. I say, what is the maximum that they qualify for? Because if I'm at the house, I know the sale price is $150,000. I look at the repairs and I say to him, okay, John Smith, this is going to cost you $100,000. You only qualify for $180,000. This is not feasible.
But make sure you use 200K rates for your policy.
Yes. Okay. But that's why I asked for the consultant request. That's why I request for the consultant request form. I want to know from you what they qualify for, because I never can believe them.
Right.
Okay. They always think they qualify for more. So this is actually the property in Manayunk, okay, on Dawson Street. And just give, can you see around me, okay? All right. Okay. This is the property information street. This is the specification of repairs. This is where I've actually put all the estimate, the prices that the contractor gave me once he went over it. He and I reviewed all the numbers. We came up with all the repairs he's going to do. Here we go. This is what I wanted to install: new stairs at basement, new staircase along side wall as per plans, including, actually the staircase ran down the middle of the house. They're punching that out, rocking the floors, and putting the staircase along the side wall to open up the actual second and third floors for more livable space. Okay. They're taking out a bedroom, which is never a good idea. They're only going to have two bedrooms, but you know what? They said they're okay with it. I didn't like it. Cabinetry, kitchen cabinetry, granite countertops as per plans, as you can see. Appliances, cleanup, permits, and architectural fees. The actual final loan, once we got the contractor to give us it, remember my original number was 104? The contractor's bid came in at 113. So the actual final number that we added to the purchase price of the house was 126. Okay? And I'll be doing a first draw on that next week. Permits and certifications. This is a draw request form. That's what that looked like. Now, real quick, I'm going to show you some of the pictures of what this house looks like in the before mode. This is the third floor. This is the third floor. We're going to be pushing out this wall. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you see? We're going to be pushing out this wall. We're going to be knocking out this closet. I wonder if this will work. Come on, work now. Work. There you go. This is actually, I went up into the attic. As Calvin will tell you, I do get on ladders all the time. So I went up into the attic to check to make sure that the support beams were solid enough to be able to handle the renovations that we're doing. This actually is the wall we're going to be pushing out. Third floor. All the plaster will be replaced with all brand new drywall. We'll be re-rocking this entire property. Second floor rear bedroom. This is actually going to turn into a massive bathroom. We're going to be reinforcing the floor. They're going to have a jacuzzi tub, a two-person stall shower. This is going to turn into a yuppie show place. A yuppie couple's buying this, by the way. It's going to be a yuppie puppy haven. Okay.
Not with two bedrooms.
Yeah, well, the third floor will be a bedroom, and then the first floor will be a bedroom, and there's going to be like an open area at the top of the stairs for like an office kind of thing. You know, they seem to like that these days, these open floor plans. Yeah. But it doesn't sell. You can't get, no. And only has
people who have kids don't want an open floor.
Right. And guess what? There's only one bathroom in the house. Yeah. There's only gonna be one bathroom, even after repair. I said, why can't we throw another bathroom in? That's okay, we don't want it. I'm like, okay.
No kids.
Not right now.
No kids. No kids.
That's why. But yes. Still, yeah. Even if they're entertaining and stuff.
Right. This is the existing bathroom. All this is gonna be gone.
So too.
This is the existing bathroom. We're replacing this. And the thing is, here's the thing that kills me about this project. This existing property, they're spending all that money, right? They're keeping the existing water boiling radiator systems. They're not putting central air in.
With those ugly radiators like that?
It's retro? Is that what it is? It's stupido. Come on, you're putting all this money in. We're opening up the walls. We're relocating staircases. We're re-rocking everything. Throw some ductwork in, idiots.
Yeah, why you're gutting open?
Why you're gutting open?
I
don't know what they saw, but
never gonna
this is the second floor. You can see the damage to the ceiling. This is second floor front bedroom. Second floor, all this is going to be hardwood, by the way.
Did this require architectural rendering?
Yes, it did. Okay. I had that structural drawings for this, especially with moving the staircase.
What did they cost?
Yeah, I think it was $4,500. Yeah.
I thought you couldn't do that.
The architectural, they prepaid for the architectural drawing, and they reimbursed them at the settlement. After
this
settlement.
This is not a streamline.
No, this is not a streamline. $130,000 worth of rehab.
Right.
These stairs are going to be removed. They're going to rip out these stairs and put a whole brand new staircase along the side wall of the house.
Can we use the carpet somewhere else?
I don't think so. I hope not. So as you can see, this is the living room. This is the dining room. This is going to go. And we're going to have an open floor plan. Okay? So I'll keep you posted on how this looks as the renovation goes forward.
That's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome when they're done.
What's their turnaround time?
6 months. 6 month project. Yeah, see this? So they're going to have to cut this. They're going to have to seal this all up. They're going to make this a living area upstairs where this is now an open hallway and move that staircase along that side wall. Both first to second, second to third. Oh, yeah, that's right. The second to the third floor, they're going to put a brass spiral staircase.
What?
Of course they are.
Their ideas or?
Their idea and the contractor who actually happened to, actually, it's not a foreclosure. The contractor is actually the owner of the house.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, it does, exactly, okay. This is the back of the house.
So resealability has no impact?
I try to encourage them to be mindful of that, but it's not my call.
Gotcha. No agent working with them?
The agent is the guy. The agent is the owner of the property who is their existing landlord on the home they're renting now. And he's also the contractor. So, yeah, so he's got all the bases covered. Okay.
What is the mortgage?
He actually is working the mortgage, I think.
Oh.
Huh?
The form disclosing identity of interest must look.
He doesn't have to do an identity of interest. Who cares where you buy the house from? They don't care about the realtor. They don't care about the seller. There's no identity of interest conflict for him to sell the house and be the contractor. I can't sell the house and be the consultant. I can't do the renovation and be the consultant. They don't care where the house comes from. The only parties in the game are the contractor, the borrower, and the consultant, right?
If they were related.
If they were related, they could not do it. Absolutely correct. They had the same last name, we'd have problems. Okay. So they're going to replace all this siding.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. We're going to put vinyl, thank you kindly. Actually, no, they want stucco. I tried to get them to do vinyl, they want stucco.
All right.
This is the basement. There's significant termite damage, so we're replacing all the joists and headers. But that's okay because we're moving the stairs anyway. We got to rejoice the basement up anyway. This is my cast iron. This is the old waste pipe. You can see the new segment of PVC. We're going to be replacing a lot of these lines in the basement. Okay. Putting in a whole new electric box, obviously. The thing is a little tiny, a little puppy over in the corner. We're going to pop a new electrical service panel and we're going to parse the walls, too, just so for fun.
You're going to earn your money on this.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah, because they're pains in the ass already. Oh, I'm sorry. No, they've been driving me nuts already.
That's how you really feel.
Yeah, thank you.
We like it.
Well, we work the same way. The more fees you give me, the more it costs you.
Yes. No, my fees are fixed. Remember, I don't get to play games like that. This is evidence of termite damage joists. You can see the termite damage in the beams. I have fun on properties. I have a lot of fun. This is the existing PVC pipe. That's okay. And the thermal expansion tank for the heating system and the gas pipeline. Some more areas. All this is... This was where the problem was. Yeah. We have to relocate all of the existing waste pipes because where they are now at... They're going to put a staircase.
Right.
So we're going to have a lot of...
They're like nymph and everything.
They might as well just tore it down and start over.
Right.
But they had to buy in Manion. Just something about...
How
not
old are they?
30-something yuppies.
They're going to live there for 2 years and move to Rittenhouse.
Works for me too.
They won't be able to sell.
Now, how many here think that if you're spending $300,000 for a house... that you should replace the heater if it looks like that.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
They're not replacing it.
What?
It's functional. It's functional. It's 15 years old. It's 12 years old. It's within the life expectancy. They're leaving it alone.
But they're not putting it in. Central?
No. Didn't I say that? They're not putting in central. They're keeping the existing radiator, the existing boiler.
And they're not putting central air in. Do they know how hot it is in Philadelphia with the concrete?
Yeah, right.
And it's in Philadelphia. No,
I'm not even going there. Okay. This is all. That's where the base. That's where the staircase is going to go. This is my termite damage in the joists. There's some more. There's some more. Isn't that nice?
Beautiful. That's a big joist.
Yes.
Catherine, you should do a TV show.
Yeah.
I actually am working on one right now. I am working on, yes, I am.
On the DIY network?
HDTV. Not DIY. I'm working on it, so I'm trying to offer them something right now. Yes. So, this is the exterior front. That nice little window is my third floor. Okay.
That's it?
Yes, that's the third floor, yeah.
So you're going to put a staircase.
They put a spiral staircase. Spiral staircase.
Could be an observatory.
No, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's not going to bother me. Look, I have a half acre of ground behind my house, actually an acre. I could not live in a place where I had to beg permission to park. This is the front of the house.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's actually property line concerns about this neighbor, because the neighbor flashed his roof onto their roof. So we're going to have fun playing with these neighbors. I'm not. So that is the end of my presentation. Does anybody have any questions? Thank you very much. So, any questions?